Watchers in the fourth dimension.
Well, I got a little bored waiting for Mr. Klee to prove how brilliant he was.
Hello and welcome to a bonus episode of Watchers in the Fourth Dimension. I'm Anthony.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Riley.
And this episode, it's time for our now customary end of season Big Finish bonus episode.
Woo!
Indeed. And this time, we will be discussing the four-part story made up of the fate of Krellos and return to Telos. I guess they were going for an intentional rhyme there. I don't know. Okay, so this story was thought of by producer David Richardson when he was starting to sketch out ideas for Series 4 of the Fourth Doctor Adventures. And the original pitch for The Fate of Krellos, it was K-9 turns evil, while Return to Telos was simply Cybermen.
I just imagine, like, at a pitch meeting, that being written up in chalkboard.
Yeah.
Somehow, if they could put dollar signs up there, just that too, and just leave it like that, do the James Cameron.
Oh, profit.
Cybermen. Yeah, I was thinking profit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Julie and I went the same place. Anyway, both were to be written by Nick Briggs, who thought that these ideas were an irresistible brief. Okay, Nick, that's not exactly a huge number of ideas to work with and describe it as an irresistible brief, but whatever. He suggested combining the two and soon found himself working through the historical implications of what he was thinking in terms of dropping the second part into the event of Season 5's The Tomb of the Cybermen. Okay. The Fate of Krellos started life under the title of Blind Summit, and Nick Briggs initially envisioned a tale about climbing a mountain with a fear about what's at the top, although the story eventually developed into much more. Honestly, writing the behind the scenes on this was really difficult because there have only been small amounts of sound bites around how they came up with this idea, but I'm very curious as to how some of these small pieces evolved into what we got. Anyway, Nick Briggs joked that the working title for Return to Telos was originally The Tradesman's Entrance to the Tomb of the Cybermen. His humor is about as solid as his ambition, as he quickly decided that he didn't want the two doctors meeting, and thus Leela and Jamie wouldn't get to meet either.
I'm so pissed.
Which is something that both Louise Jameson and Fraser Hines strongly felt was a missed opportunity.
Yep.
And Julie, just for you, they would later get their chance in 2018's Companion Chronicle, Dumb Waiter.
Yeah, I'm wondering why we didn't do that one as well, because I feel like that's really a true three-parter.
Because it's really set in the second Doctor's time, and I don't own it.
Okay.
Looking at our behind-the-scenes crew, this one is very solidly a Nick Briggs affair. He is not only the writer, but also the director, voice of the Cybermen, and of course, Big Finish's executive producer. As previously mentioned, producer is David Richardson, who worked on an absurd amount of Big Finish output. Music and sound effects were provided by Jamie Robertson, who also worked on a similarly absurd amount of Big Finish, including Destination Nerva, which we previously covered last season. Now, this came out in July and August 2015, so we're dealing with something that's about 9 years old at this point. With that short bit of behind-the-scenes information out of the way, let's get to talking about it. And Julie, you have already mentioned your displeasure at our companions never meeting.
Yes. First off, when the Doctor mentions Jamie and that he is a warrior, Leela is immediately intrigued, and the ship that I didn't know I needed to ship has happened.
I was wondering if you were going to get jealous of Leela, but...
Not jealous, but there's a surprising lack of fan fiction out there for Jamie and Leela. You're welcome, everyone. I did the research for you.
There we are. I went into this with just a little bit of knowledge, not too much. And as it was developing, I was thinking, you know, this recording we're about to do, the title should be The Julie and Riley Simping Special. Because wow, but alas, not much Jamie, not as much as we were hoping, right? I figured when I saw it as four parts, two episodes with two parts each, I figured, the classic bookend, half and half, right? Right? No.
That's what they wanted you to think. That was the hook to get you to buy this.
Ah.
And neither of you did, because I just let you listen to my copy.
But can you imagine? You've got two warriors who fight with knives meeting for the first time, who both love the Doctor in their own ways, right? Because they stuck with him for a while. Oh, it'd be amazing. And we didn't get it.
You know, the funny thing about that is that I wonder, if you put those two characters together, is this one of those situations where the similarities between them are too much that they might actually not like each other, at least at first? That could provide some comedic moments, I would think.
I do think there would be some difference. And Leela is a bit more trigger happy than Jamie was. So he would be the voice of reason.
He always was as well. Yes. Like, he was always pretty level headed.
Yes, but if he were to be convinced, he would go in full swing.
And it would be magnificent for the two of them going in full swing.
Oh, absolutely. And he would teach her all the Gaelic war cries. Oh, it'd be so good.
Craig and Tor!
Okay, we've done our bit of loving Jamie and Leela and our sadness around all that. I want to touch upon two things. And I'm sure, Anthony, you were probably going to do this anyway. Sound and music.
Mm-hmm.
The opening, I had no idea what the hell was happening, but it sounded epic.
Yeah, it was lots of explosions and an opening monologue that dropped the story title. Big Finish 101.
How can you not love that? There were random moments of jazz interludes that didn't really make sense, but I was okay because it's jazz.
I think Jamie Robertson was just channeling the 1960s in Doctor Who with that, taking us back to the chase.
I was quite impressed with the music. I actually believe that the music in this is the best I've heard in a Big Finish before. I never.
Oh, I don't disagree. I do think that aside from the random jazz interludes, most everything else was great. The music was better than a lot of the stuff in the past. I think the only one that I liked better, Riley, was one that you didn't do, the one that was set in Alexandria.
Oh, yeah, that one was good.
But other than that, yes, I would agree with you.
I would argue that the music in this Big Finish is better than any of the music during Chibnall's era. That is for another time, and we'll get to that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Riley, you are baiting today.
Speaking of baiting, fishing, right? That's where the story begins.
Oh, no.
Thank you for that excellent segue, right?
You're welcome. I wish I could say it was deliberate, but I'm not quite that smart. So the majority of this story seems relatively straightforward, right? We've got a cyber invasion conversion. They're doing the riff on the negative side of all technology being connected and having a Bluetooth toaster and what have you. It's not particularly original. I'm sure everyone's thought of doing it. They basically turn the Cybermen into the Borg in this. I mean,
I had fun, though. It's fun because of the characters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And one thing is, I think Tom Baker sounded the best that I've heard him as the Doctor in any of the audios that we've done thus far.
And this is four seasons into that, so he's at a point where he's gotten really, really comfortable.
Let's talk about it. Leela was also wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Fraser Hines, both characters, great. I forget how good he is at the Second Doctor.
Yeah, there are points where he's effectively talking to himself because it's Jamie and the Second Doctor talking, and you don't realize he's doing it initially until you remind yourself, oh, wait, that's Fraser Hines doing both voices.
Yes, and when you listen to the interviews, it's not like he records one and then records the other. He records them at the same time. And that's amazing to just flip that switch every couple sentences. Oh, it's wonderful. It got a few other original voice actors. All sounded great. I was very impressed by the cast.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Michael Cochrane, who played Geralk. He's most famous actually as a radio actor.
Mm.
So there is a long running British radio show called The Archers, and he was in that for a very, very long time. We will see him on TV in Doctor Who. He's in two stories, one in season 19 and one in season 26. But he is most famous as a radio actor.
I understand why.
Yeah, he was very, very good.
Yes, he was. The acting all around, it's funny about this Big Finish. The production, the acting, the music, everything is top-notch. Just wish the story was a bit better.
I mean, the story isn't bad until...
It's a bit basic.
Yeah, and then you get the final episode where I honestly lost track of what was going on. I don't know how this actually got resolved.
I agree with you. The only thing I think that saves the writing is, okay, the plot itself, not so great. All the little tiny callbacks to the Fourth Doctor era is phenomenal.
Mm.
Just some of these things that they do, I'm going to have to take a look at my list again, but there's just certain things that it's like, oh yeah, this is totally one of those tropes that we have seen in the Fourth Doctor era.
K-9 interfacing with the TARDIS, yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you, Julie. There are moments like that that make it enjoyable. I'm not saying this is bad. This mm-hmm. is an enjoyable listen. It sounds great. It gives you little bits and pieces of things that you like about these eras. I just wish the story itself was more engaging. You mentioned it earlier, the back and forth between the Doctor and Leela. It's a lot of great things in here, but I can only best describe it as a amazing, expensive sports car with an economy motor.
That's exactly what it is.
Can we talk about K-9 being the bad guy?
I have to say, I did not expect myself to be so affected by that. Not necessarily the parts of him being, quote, bad. I'm talking the parts where he just seems to be glitching out. It was painful. It was a bit emotional in a way, yes?
Poor little guy. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, it's funny. If they hadn't even made him a bad guy, per se, if they just had him glitching out, that probably would have been worse.
Yes.
To be honest.
Yeah.
But, oh man, so good. So good.
So the one thing I really didn't like about this story, and I already alluded to it, but I think turning the Cybermen effectively into the Borg from Star Trek is so, so lazy. And it's right down to where they can even half convert someone on the spot, at which point their skin goes all pale. And it really is very Borg-esque. And they're able to do it effectively from particles, which may as well be nanites. Moffat's era started doing it in Nightmare in Silver, and I didn't like it then. I kind of liked the body horror of the RTD era Cybermen, where literally the brain is taken out and put into a metal body. This augmentation path, leave that to Star Trek. They've already done it. There's already a whole alien race like that. Just stop.
Well, as someone who isn't that involved in Star Trek, I'd never really made that connection because I have only heard of the Borg. I don't know that much about them.
God, the Borg scared the shit out of me as a kid.
I agree with you, Anthony. In regards to horror elements, when you take something and then effectively place it as an everywhere, anything type of deal, like nanoparticles, it becomes so abundant that it kind of loses its terror, its frightening aspects, because it's almost like, well, I wouldn't know if it was there if it was there, and there's so much of it about, so what can you do? I guess you just get turned into a Cyberman. It's a lot more disturbing, the idea of that you still have a chance if you can just run away and get away, and they have to actually physically restrain you. That is more terrifying than just, oh, accidentally touched some of this stuff, now I've turned into it. I think you understand my point, but I agree with you completely.
Yeah, this isn't something Big Finish started, so I don't entirely blame them, but they didn't have to continue with it.
Well, this is the question I've been dying to ask. Do you think the TARDIS makes a good fish and chips?
Probably not.
I don't think any sort of food synthesizer can recreate proper deep fried food. That's just my opinion. Anyway.
It probably gets the amount of malt vinegar wrong and, you know.
It doesn't have the special spices.
Right.
It doesn't understand Old Bay seasoning or anything remotely like that. So
hold up. We're talking British style fish and
I
chips.
Know.
There's
Don't
there's
care.
No seasoning in that, Julie. You know we we like our food bland.
It's bland as hell.
Yeah, I'll bring the Old Bay seasoning onto the TARDIS. It's fine.
I'm actually offended by this.
I know that it's not, but I don't care. I'm going to bring it anyway because it's delicious.
And that's why I'm offended. It's that you know it shouldn't be, but you're going to do it anyway.
Okay. I'm not going to lie. A lot of times when the Cybermen were on, I just stopped listening to them because what they did right is they sounded like the Cybermen from the second Doctor era.
Mm-hmm.
So great job doing that, but I could never understand them and always use closed captioning. I didn't have that luxury.
This is making me think of what would be a wonderful, wonderful Doctor Who bit if they had a serial, another Cyberman serial, and the Cyberman approach threatening to someone, and the person's like, what? I don't understand you. What do you want? It's just pops and whistles. I can't understand anything you're saying.
It's fine, Julie. All you need to know is that there was a lot of, we will succeed, you belong to us, you will be like us.
Mm-hmm.
Something about them becoming invincible. There you go. That's all their dialogue.
And also to go into the tropes, it's one, actually they fit into both the second Doctor and fourth Doctor era tropes, because again, with the Cybermen, they talk a lot. Like mm-hmm. the Daleks talked a lot. And when you get into New Who, they know like three words. So there's that. I like bringing back the Cybermats.
Yeah.
I hate the Cybermats. I hate them. They're very effective. They always creep me out. They brought back some of the dialogue. We got beasties. I have missed.
Oh, yes.
Jamie saying beasties. Oh, my giddy aunt.
mm-hmm. I know we already gave a shout out to this, but he is just so incredible as the second Doctor.
I was impressed. I really was. We've done this before. We've done Big Finish having another actor play a previous Doctor, and sometimes it's there and it's okay, but this felt real good. It sounded real good. I was willing to have them go all the way with that, have him just do his own.
Yeah, they've had him do it in some stories. He's fantastic. It's that he's got all the inflections right.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
All the little hmms at the end of sentences.
Well, and I loved... And again, I don't know if you guys listen to the interviews at the end. I always do. And just hearing Fraser Hines talk about his time with Patrick Troughton, I want to know what that was like, because it sounded so great.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be besties with them.
Speaking of that time period, I love the line, the mop top and checked trousers bit. I like that a lot. Because it's so wonderfully identifiable. It's so very unique. And I know all the Doctors have a unique look, but there's something about that in particular, because I think it's so clearly placed in a certain time period.
Yeah.
In our history, not just in the show's chronology, of course.
I really would have loved to have seen the two Doctors meet.
Oh, really? I know.
I know it's a little bit of a cliche to do it that way, but come on, give the people what they want. You can't just tease us with a multi-doctor story and then don't make it a real multi-doctor story.
Agreed. Absolutely agree.
Okay. We haven't been talking about Jarrett Gall that much, and I feel really bad about that. So I want to talk about that, and then I'm going to talk about the thing that pisses me off.
All right.
But Jarrett, again, we mentioned the actor being really good. A lot of his stuff was also very sad, like K-9.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very sad. He seemed very, very sweet.
Very sweet, and I love his, what was she, like, maid?
Housekeeper. Yeah.
I love their relationship, because he's just, he wants to piss her off.
Riley, not Riley.
That's right. I, too, enjoyed Jarrett. I thought that the effect they put on his voice as the virtually controlled robot was really good.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to make someone sound... or for you to feel emotional when you hear someone, when their voice is kind of digitized. But it works really well here, and I don't know how they pull it off, but they did.
They somehow made it somewhat, I guess, innocent sounding?
Weakened,
or
I guess.
Or weakened, maybe.
Yeah.
Frail. Maybe that's it.
That's a good way of putting it. Definitely frail.
Which is interesting to make it frail with something that is actually probably stronger than he is.
True.
Yes.
But that is true. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the thing that really pissed me off.
Okay, let's do it.
The fact that they don't remember at the end.
Yeah.
It meant nothing.
And that's where I started to kind of really struggle with following it. It was a needlessly timey-wimey ending.
Yes.
And it... It wasn't interesting to listen to at that point. I legitimately lost focus and just didn't care.
Yep. I think it should have ended with them figuring it out and the doctor not fading away. K-9 did help with that, right? So K-9 somewhat saved the day. And then we could have left it at that. They could have still remembered. We could have gotten Leela being upset for not getting to meet Jamie because she would have probably legitimately been pissed for how obsessed she got with him in the four parts of a story that she knew about him. And I think that would have been better.
Julie, I was half expecting you to get kind of jealous.
No, because I can always just put myself in Leela's shoes and it's fine.
Nice.
Plus, I don't want Jamie to be alone.
Fair, fair. I don't think they would be good for each other. I think Leela would egg Jamie on into all sorts of trouble.
That's fair, but for that short period of time, it'd be great.
Yes, yes. Effectively, the whole thing's Jamie's fault, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it's the doctor's fault for taking him there. But they say that. The doctor said it's my fault because I took Jamie there, basically.
And here's the thing, that this whole... no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do it. So here's the thing, this whole cyber particles thing that allegedly attached themselves to Jamie's clothes during the events of Tomb of the Cybermen, there is no indication that those Cybermen are anywhere near sophisticated enough to have that.
You're right.
So this whole thing is stupid because it doesn't fit within the show's continuity and oh my God, I've become that person.
I could have waved it away if they had ended it better. And maybe I probably would have said if they put a little bit more into it than just the clothes, or if they truly did it by the clothes, then it should have been something planted on Jamie, not just a, oh, they happened to just wipe off on his clothes.
I have a question for both of you. If you took this same general format of a story, the same characters, but you didn't have the Cybermen, you had some other villain, and the figuring out of how they infected and how they took over wasn't some sort of nanoparticles thing, would you find the story to be better, or the entire big finish to be better? Would that be an improvement? Would that fix a lot of the problems?
For me, yes.
Okay. I think this might be another one of those situations where we don't need to be calling back our rogues gallery of villains again. We need to maybe come up with a new one.
And here's the thing. When they did this story, they didn't have the license for the Cybermen.
Oh, really?
So they had to go and get the license to use them again. Their ability to use them had lapsed at some point. So,
yeah, they had perfect opportunity to do something new, and they didn't.
Exactly. So, frustrating.
A bit frustrating. I don't want to harp on it too much. I think I've kind of said my piece about what I think about this. This is not a bad listen. I enjoy hanging out with these characters. I really enjoyed hearing them discuss what fishing is. I thought that was very cute and funny. But the reason why we're going from one place to another, our driving action, I agree with you, Anthony. It leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
I feel like brought everyone to such a sour, dour note.
No,
there.
You're absolutely right.
Because in the back of my head, I sit there and I say, I think the exact same thing, but I got to listen to Jamie.
Right. I'm not joking. Yes. I would actually listen to this entire serial again. That's how much I enjoyed the interactions of the characters.
If I'm being perfectly honest, the whole reason I wanted to do this one was to give Julie some Jamie.
Oh, you're so nice to me.
Well, I've got to be to keep you on the show.
Wow. Okay, I see. I see how it is.
No, of course I'd be nice to you otherwise.
If all else fails, I always find a way to bring Jamie up again. It's okay. But
yeah,
now I want to go watch Tomb of the Cybermen again.
No one's stopping you.
Watching the Cybermen break out of their little cells. Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It is. It's one of the classics. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go ahead and assign some ratings to this one. I'll go first because I don't want to put either of you on the spot because I'm not sure if either of you were prepared to rate this. Overall, as Riley said, this was an enjoyable listen. There were some things in it that I don't feel were necessary or I don't feel fit with the story. If they'd come up with a more linear end to it rather than just effectively they erased the story out of existence, I would have been a lot happier. if the Cybermen had stuck more to the actual body horror method of conversion as opposed to the Borg-like one, I would have been happier. Let's just get rid of those particles altogether. I'd have been happier. But it's enjoyable enough. So I think this one gets 6 Cybermats living rent-free in K-9's head out of 10.
Oh, nice.
All right, Julie, why don't you go next?
Okay. I think we covered most of the things that I would probably cover. The acting is superb. Yes, I understand that I wax poetic about Fraser Hines, but truly his second Doctor and his Jamie are still so good. And music is great. The sound effects are great. Parts of the plot are fine. I think in the script, the dialogue is really well done. Doing a lot of callbacks, they do a very good job with that. There's just some plot issues. And I can forgive a lot of that and overlook a lot of that because of how enjoyable the rest of it is. I'm going to be a little bit nicer, and I'm going to give it 7 Jamie Leela ships I didn't know I needed out of 10.
And last but not least, Dr. Shrek.
Not much morals to say. I recommend people to listen to this if you like the Doctor and Leela's partnership. The music, wonderful. Production, excellent. I feel like it's just one of those things where you might just want to have on in the background and you just pick up the conversations as they go along just to enjoy hanging out with these characters because that's really where the quality stands. So I won't go over all the points everyone else did before because they've been well handled. So I will give this 7.5 wee cyber particle beasties out of 10.
Hey, perfect. Well, that brings us to the end. Of course, we will be back next episode. Make sure you join us. We'd love to have you back. But in the meantime, as always, thank you so very much for listening. And until next time, have a good one. You have been listening to Watchers in the Fourth Dimension with Julie Filipek, Riley Schreck, and myself, Anthony Williams. This bonus episode, the Julie and Riley Simping Special, was recorded on Wednesday the 19th of March 2024. If this is your first time listening in, all of our previous episodes are available through your favourite podcasting app. You can interact with us on Facebook, Instagram, and the platform formerly known as Twitter, at Watchers4D. And you can also email us at watchers4d@gmail.com. If you're enjoying the show, please do subscribe and leave us a review or rating on your favourite podcasting app. All of those things really do help the show. And always remember, the Cybermen should not become the Borg.